Very good morning. If you just joined me, yes, it's your weekly health and wellbeing show. And today we are revisiting the C word, cancer, with regular doctors to the show from the Gulf International Cancer Centre. That's Dr. Ali Razek, who is Executive Director and Chief of Radiation Oncology. Joining him is Dr. Mariam Aslani, Specialist Radiation Oncologist from the Gulf International Cancer Centre. If you've got any questions for the doctors this morning, or you can tweet at Suzanne Radford. And looking here on Twitter, from Bubbles DXB, because both my parents died of pancreatic cancer, am I at a higher risk, or is this cancer not hereditary? Pancreatic cancer.
It could be hereditary. It's not genetics, so it doesn't mean that necessarily you're going to get it, but there is a higher prevalence between families. So he shouldn't be completely concerned, yet cautious enough regarding the symptoms of pancreatic cancer, which is a possibility of weight loss, abdominal pain, and yellowish discoloration of the skin.
Okay, so just to understand the pancreas in the body, where it is, and many people will think of pancreas, may think of alcohol as well, maybe. It's linked to the liver. So just to explain the role of the pancreas.
It's one of the major and important glands inside the body that secretes lots of hormones. One of the famous one is the insulin that it secretes in the body to regulate the glucose metabolism. In terms of the relation to the alcohol is that we get basically a pancreatitis, which is the inflammation of the pancreas in the alcoholic. And also the prevalence of the pancreas cancer is more between the alcoholics. So it's a very important organ, and it also regulates the metabolism of the red blood cells. That's why you might get the changes and the discoloration of the skin when the pancreas is affected by cancer or by any kind of infection.
And it doesn't have to be alcohol linked. I'm not suggesting
that. Not necessarily.
It's just to understand the organ a little bit better. Right. Now, you know, lifestyle, we've mentioned tobacco, smoking, tobacco. Somebody's texting here earlier regarding their mother. We'll come to that text in a moment regarding the use of snuff and the effects on the brain. Could it cause a brain cancer? We talk about nutrition and diet all the time on the show, but with relation to cancer, it was interesting here, I was reading that nutrition is an important factor in cancer. That's nothing new. We know that. But even more interesting, how far it goes back. So even as back in the Song Dynasty, 960 and 1279 AD, thought that poor nutrition was a cause of the condition now known as esophageal cancer, the food pipe. Lamb in 1815 warned against the danger of excess consumption of food in general and meat in particular. Roger Williams in 1908 observed that excessive feeding, especially meat, deficient exercise and probably lack of sufficient vegetable food are the predisposing factors for cancer. What would you say about that with regards to eating meat? We just recently read in our local papers regarding pesticides on fruit and vegetables, and that you must wash or peel your fruit and vegetables. So just to go over the importance of nutrition and the links to cancer.
These are all the things we advise against. So we advise moderation. We advise not to eat too much fat in the diet. We advise to have a lot of vegetables, fruit. We advise to exercise. We advise to have non-pesticide food, because all these are chemicals can produce into cancer. High-fat diet can produce liver, uterine, colon cancer. So all these, and it has to be a habit or pattern of life. It's not something that you do 1 year and you skip 1 year. It has to be all the time for years and years to see the effect of it.
So coming to our text messages here, what's the cause of brain tumor cancer? My mother is a regular tobacco user and uses snuff. So that's obviously through the nose, the snuff. We don't hear about that so much these days. So interesting.
Very interesting. Yes. I don't recall any literature connecting the use of inhalers or snuffs to the brain cancer. Usually the real cause of the brain cancer in terms of the environmental causes is not very well known. There are many geneticals or hereditary type of a brain cancer, but relation between the SNOF and the brain cancer, I don't know any literature about.
That's true. Some theories about the use of being living next to high power stations and things of that nature, but none proven.
So, symptoms of a brain cancer.
The skull is a compact structure. So there is no room for expansion like other tumors. So usually if there is a brain tumor, it increases pressure into the head. So the first thing we feel is headache, and headache, consistent, persistent headache that we feel. And then the other one from increased pressure is pressure on the on the eyes, and what we call papilledema. You see blurring of vision. These are the initial symptoms we see, and then some might cause seizures or convulsions, and some might produce weakness on one side of the body or a focal limb. These are all alarming signs for brain cancer.
Here in Friday Magazine from the Gulf News, I'll try anything to beat brain cancer. This is from a young woman, Hannah Bradley, 27 years of age. I woke up in hospital. She had no idea what had happened until tests revealed a brain tumour the size of a golf ball in her frontal lobe. It showed itself simply in her sleep. Her partner thought that she was having a nightmare. When he couldn't wake her, he realised she was unconscious. Was taken to hospital, and she woke up, and they had identified brain cancer, and she's battling that disease. When you talk about the brain, it's such a complex area anyway. I mean, there's so much of it we still don't know about the brain. I mean, when you look at when a cancer is showing itself to you, presenting itself, and it's in the head, it's brain, what is the prognosis like for a brain cancer?
First of all, the first question, it depends what area of the brain. The front of the brain causes personality changes. The side of the brain, the parietal part, causes weakness on one side. Posterior of the brain causes visual and imbalance of the person. So it depends what side of the brain. If there is bleeding in it, the person might be in coma. So these are the things. Your second question again.
Just one thing I'd like to add is... Also, in terms of the cancer and its behavior and the prognosis, I think she asked about the prognosis of the brain cancer, is the way that these cells behave. I mean, you have different behaviors in between cancers. You can have a brain cancer that has a good behavior, and you have a brain cancer that has a bad behavior. So having a brain tumor, that doesn't necessarily sentence you to a very bad prognosis. You can have a brain tumor, but the one with a good behavior, and you can have a normal, healthy life. On the other end, we have the worst type, which is we call glioblastoma multiformis, and really we can't help much in that regard. So it so much depends on what type of the brain tumor we are talking about. This same applies to the other question that some people live with cancer for a long time because they have a cancer, but it's a good, cancer with a good behavior that doesn't invade, doesn't metastasize, and tend to stay localized.
Text from Reza here. Good morning to you, Hamid Reza. My grandfather had blood cancer and my mother had brain cancer and my auntie had colon cancer. Would you advise a PET, a PET scan for me?
There is some prevalence or familial history of cancer, which means that there is maybe some genetic defect. I mean, he should be not very apprehensive about it, but he should look after himself for anything that shows or symptoms. As far as recommending a PET-CT, we usually do not recommend PET-CT except if there is diagnosis of established cancer. So this is the one we recommend, the routine FDG injection, because it's radioactive to go all over the body, and it depends on the cancer, because cancer metabolizes faster and what we call sucks the glucose, and then it shows up on the PET scan. If there is no cancer, then it's not going to show. But in his particular case, unless there is diagnosis of cancer, we usually do not advise PET-CT, and insurance companies won't pay for it too.
So what should he do? I mean, obviously take care of himself, have a, you know, healthy diet, regularly exercise, don't smoke.
Yes.
But medically speaking, is there any test he can do or any kind of screening?
Only if there is symptoms. Mm. I mean, if, as we said, persistent cough or bleeding we have the PSA if it's at elder age. These are the things we look for. But routinely, just be aware of the signs of cancer that we talked about earlier in the program, and if any of them, he has to go to the doctor. A regular checkup once a year with the GP is a good idea too.
When we come back, we'll be addressing a text message here regarding a 9-year-old, somebody's daughter, that has a small hard lump on her neck. So we'll find out more about that and get the doctor's take.